Mark 3, starting at verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard about all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him, to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then Jesus entered the house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, by prince of demons. He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up, then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of eternal sin." He says, because they were saying, "He has an impure spirit." Then Jesus and Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. And he looked at those seated in the circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Amen.
Thanks, Bill. Gavin, could you go upstairs and get the clicker for me, please? I seem to have forgotten it. It's actually not that long since I last took a service, but I seem to have forgotten what I'm supposed to be doing. I did have a feeling there was something missing this morning, but anyway, there we go. Right. Jesus had become hugely popular. Word had spread far and wide, and he was all that everybody was speaking about. And so they came. Not just the people of his local area, but from as far away as Edom, Tyre, and across the Jordan. People travelled a long distance to see him. Why? Well, maybe curiosity, to see and hear from themselves this man whose name was on everyone's lips. Maybe they wanted to see the miracles he was reputed to be doing. Maybe they wanted healing. In a world where medical skill was extremely primitive, you would go, wouldn't you, if you had had a long period of illness or disability with no prospect of any cure. And now there were stories of people being healed of all sorts of conditions. And so they flocked to see him. And I imagine many discussions amongst this great crowd. Who is he? Who is this man who is speaking these words and doing these things? He was the eldest son of Joseph and Mary. But remember, there had been that bit of scandal about his birth. Plenty of gossip 30 years ago. He was the local carpenter. Those who lived locally had seen him grow up, and he had played with their children. And now all this was happening. Who is he? Who is Jesus? That is still the big question today. It is actually the most important question in the world. Some people say that he was a prophet. Some people say he was a great teacher. Some say that he showed and taught what a good life looked like, and that if we were just to follow his words, the world would be a better place. And of course, that's all true as far as it goes. But it's not the answer to the question. Back in the mid-1800s, the Scottish preacher John Duncan said there were only three possibilities. Christ either deceived mankind by conscious fraud, or he was himself deluded and self-deceived, or he was divine. He was a fraud. He was deluded, or he was God. The famous Christian writer C.S. Lewis said the same thing. He described it like this, and it's quite a long quote. I am trying to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Who is Jesus? In our passage today, we see that in those days in Galilee, there were the same three opinions about him: lunatic, liar, or Lord. Mad, bad, or God. His family thought he was mad. A crowd had gathered so that Jesus and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about it, they went to take charge of him, or to restrain him, as another translation puts it. He's out of his mind, they said. Jesus' mother Mary had clearly not understood by this stage in the story just who this son of hers really was. Nor had his brothers, although they came to believe in him at a later date, and his brother James even became leader of the church in Jerusalem after the resurrection and ascension. But not now. Now they thought he was crazy, and they had come to take him away, to stop him behaving in such an outrageous manner. This wasn't how the family of Joseph behaved. This wasn't how they had ever expected their son and brother to be. What was going on? He must be out of his mind. The teachers of the law who had come down from Jerusalem to see what was going on thought he was bad. He's possessed by Beelzebub, the archdemon Satan, they said. They saw the miracles that Jesus did. They couldn't deny the reality. They saw the healings. They saw that many people were set free from illnesses that had held them captive for many years. Some people were set free from possession by evil spirits. Now, we understand some of these illnesses better than the people of the first century did. We have a greater understanding of mental illness and trauma-based illness, and we know that they are often not caused by evil spirits. But there were definitely people here who were set free from evil spirits. We know that because the evil spirits recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. People may have wondered who he was. The spiritual forces knew very well who he was. And the teachers of the law, who should have known better than anyone how to recognize the Messiah when he came, were having none of it. How is this man healing these people, they said. And they accused Jesus of being in league with the devil, of casting out evil spirits by the power of Satan. As Jesus pointed out, that was ridiculous. How can Satan drive out Satan, he said. If Satan opposes himself, he's divided and can't stand. Why would the evil power fight against itself? Why would the evil power, the prince of darkness, set people free from oppression by evil powers? That would be a civil war in the kingdom of darkness. It was nonsense. There was only one possible explanation for what Jesus was doing and for who he was. And he explained it by a parable. No one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. For Jesus to cast out demonic powers from people could only be possible because he had power and authority greater than the powers of darkness. It could only be because he was God. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he stood firm against all the temptations of the devil and defeated him. And when he died on the cross and rose again, he would defeat every power of evil for all time. Such great power could only be the power of God. Jesus was saying and showing that through him, Satan's reign of sin and death was over, and God's reign had begun in the hearts and minds of those whom Jesus had ransomed and redeemed from Satan's power. The teachers of the law could not have been more wrong. Far from carrying out miracles by the power of the evil one, Jesus has defeated him completely for all time. We look around the world and see terrible things. Sometimes we look at the faces of despots and tyrants and we see evil. Sometimes we see ordinary men and women getting swept up into the most terrible things, and we can be in no doubt that there is a force of evil at work in the world. Just look at the news bulletins. But here is the good news. Jesus has defeated every force of evil. He is triumphant, and one day he will return and he will establish forever his reign of truth and justice and righteousness. People didn't know what to think of him. What do you think of him? Do you think he is mad or bad or the Son of God? It is the most important question in the world, the most important question you will ever answer. And if you aren't sure, now would be a really good time to sort out your thinking. If you're in any doubt, why not come to the Alpha course that we're starting on the 18th of February? There's a sheet in the Hall of Friendship where you can sign up to come and learn about Jesus, or speak to Louise if you want to know more about it. But I suspect that most of us are here because we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So what? We thought earlier about the disciples, those 12 men who left all they had to follow him. Our passage says that he called them so that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out unclean spirits. Why are we called? Well, firstly, like the disciples, we are called so that we might be with him. That is the first thing and the most important thing about following Jesus, just being with him. Sometimes we get wound up about doing, and we fret about what we can and can't do. Maybe we feel guilt that we aren't doing enough. Maybe as we get older, we feel we can't do what we used to, and that is a source of concern for us. But we are called, firstly, to be with him, just as he is with us. And of course, he also called the disciples, and he calls us so that they and we would go out and do his work in the world, telling others about him, obeying him, doing what he asks us to do. But that doing comes out of, first of all, being with him first, and then we can go and do. Being with Jesus because, as we saw early in our service, he was also their friend, as he is our friend. In John's Gospel, we read that Jesus said to them, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned of my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Friends of Jesus, isn't that amazing. And here we are in church, a gathering of the friends of Jesus, the Son of God, being with him and receiving his grace and strength so that we can do what he asks of us. Later on in our passage, Jesus' mother and brothers waited outside the house where he was and sent in a message asking for him. When Jesus was told this, he said a strange thing. Who are my mother and my brothers? And then he looked at those seated in a circle round him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Was he disowning his family? Was he casting them off, saying he didn't want any more to do with them because they didn't understand about him? No, of course he wasn't. But what he was saying was that allegiance to him was what mattered, that a new family of faith was being established. We often speak about our church family. That's what Jesus was talking about. The people who sat around him, listening to him, wanting to be with him, following him, they were his family. We are his family. When we placed our trust in him, we were adopted into God's family as his children. Amazing. And almost incredible as it seems, we are not only the friends of Jesus, but also his family. That's what church family means. Family together with Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God, who has defeated every evil power, and who calls us to be his friends and his family, part of the great family of God from every nation, here on earth and in heaven. So may we be with him, follow him, and serve him all the days of our lives. Amen. And let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have called us to be with you. Help us in this coming week to acknowledge that you are with us and we are with you. Help us to take moments in this week just to know that we are with you, that you are our friend, and that we are part of your great family throughout the world, on earth and in heaven. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the amazing truth of friendship and family with you. Thank you for all the blessings that you pour into our lives. Thank you for who you are with us and for us day by day. We give you thanks and praise in your mighty name. Amen. And so we're going to sing a hymn that talks about some of what Jesus is for us. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And then Gail will lead us today in our prayers for others.